Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Romantically Inclined podcast, where I bring you fun conversation. Probably. I don't know. That's your opinion. That's actually, it's my opinion. And today I am bringing you Michaela, who is returning for her second time on this podcast because, but you know, we have really good chemistry, and you must capitalize on good chemistry. And you can follow her at Love Michaela Eve on Instagram and maybe TikTok.
TikTok,
TikTok.
YouTube.
YouTube. Oh yeah, she is a YouTube star. She knows how to do those cool backgrounds where it's like, you know, your face and like there's books behind you and like it looks really fancy. I don't know how to do that. So if I make a YouTube channel, it'll just be like a screenshot of me mid-talk, probably. And anyways, today we are bringing you the book you've all been waiting for, All He Wants for Christmas is a Fingerling by J.P. Sale. And I did actually not know what a fingerling was before reading this. I just never heard of a potato. It's a specific type of potato, like a smaller potato.
You can
Did
tell
you?
that you're not married to a chef.
No. Oh yeah, Michaela's husband is a chef, so she's obviously heard of fingerlings. This is a dumb conversation on my part.
We're off to a roaring start, as we often are together. The fingerling potato. I don't know. It's like it's a moment, you know. This book was very powerful. I was trying to convince Kate that it was more of a Christmas episode, but at her insistence, here we are.
I literally, while reading this book, had no inkling of it being Christmas in the book.
At
Was
the
it?
end of the book, it's Christmas.
Well, okay, the very end, but like all he wants, you, if all he wants for Christmas is a fingerling, I'm sorry, but can it start with Christmas? It should fucking start with Christmas, not end with Christmas. It should be Santa making his dream come true of having a fingerling, which is also hilarious because, okay, I'm gonna tell you guys what this book is about. First, before I get into this rant about the title, this book brings us Tala, who is a male werewolf shifter. I think he's just a wolf shifter, whatever. And he is not interested in settling down. One day he goes to buy, I don't know, was it a part for his truck or grain or something?
Yeah, he talks about how shit his truck is. He's a mechanic as well. It's a very wolf profession, I
It
feel like.
really is.
Yeah, you see a lot of them. You know, they're all sort of men being men together in their pack. So he goes to find a part that he thinks he's been overcharged with. And he's on his way. He's on the road going, thinking he's being grumpy.
He
And then
like
all of a
basically
sudden.
sees a like naked man on the side of the road, right? And then
Yes.
the next thing he looks, it's like gone. There's no naked man on the side of the road.
I have to cut in here. He sees a naked man on the side of the road and smells the most delicious French fries and ketchup he has ever smelt in his life.
Don't understand the ketchup thing. Is that like a perfume friend? Okay. Also, the potato
A lot to
shifter,
unpack.
bless his heart. His name is Frenchie, which is a
He is
little on the
5 feet
nose.
tall.
It's a little bit. What's up with his parents naming him Frenchie?
Well, he does have a brother who comes into play later whose name is Russ, which I thought was really funny, like a russet potato.
Damn it, that's funny.
Did you not
Damn it,
clock that?
I
I
did
know too
not.
much about
I'm not married to a
potatoes.
fucking
Aren't you
chef,
Irish?
Michaela. I am Irish. I'm very my maiden name is O'Malley. I'm
There
like as
you
Irish as it gets, except like
go.
I haven't. I don't know, like 5 generations back since I lived in Ireland, since anyone in my family lived
We're
in
all
Ireland.
Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh yeah. Having the last name O'Malley on St. Patrick's Day was like
Lots of
quite
free
the
drinks.
boon.
I love that.
Anyways, so Frenchie is sheltered and innocent and young and virginal, and he senses his mate in Tala. He like is like, this guy's my mate. He potato rolls, whatever, into the guy's truck. And the next thing we know, they're at the house together. And I'm not going to spoil it all in case you haven't read it and you want to, and this isn't really relevant, but it is so it's a gay romance. It's grumpy sunshine. These are all the tropes listed in the blurb. Fated mates, M-preg, so that's male pregnancy, y'all. Omegaverse. And what I love about this is Tala does not want to be fated mates with what is essentially dinner. He's a werewolf. It's not even a slab of meat. It's a fucking potato. And he's like, he has no idea potato shifters exist. And not only that, but when Frenchie leaves his territory, he can never return. That's for some reason, that's like part of it. He can never go home again. So you're kind of forced, like he latches onto this werewolf shifter. And if he doesn't want him, Frenchie's just shit out of luck, basically.
Yeah, I feel, I read way too deeply into things. And I was like, wow, this is really a progressive look at leaving your country of origin for love.
It's like leaving a fucking farm where he potatoes with other potatoes in the dirt all the time. Baby.
Like, it's just not that deep. But I was like, Frenchie gave up so much. And the other wolves are like really mean to him because he's a fucking potato shifter. They're like, other shifters exist. And they're like, oh, it's a potato. Like, literally, it's just, but the best part about this book is every time, I call him Tala because I have an accent, as Kate likes to point out. You and your accent, Michaela. Yeah, he always just smells French fries. And I'm like, is it like what type of French fry? Like a McDonald's French fry or like, you know, a really authentic, good, like rustic cut French fry?
I pictured McDonald's.
Real? That's, well, I don't know. See, and then my chef husband, he actually worked at McDonald's for like 3 years. So we are not a McDonald's family. We do not.
That'll turn you off it.
Yeah, it's KFC all day, baby. It's just like that's interesting.
I'm a Popeyes girl myself.
We have that here. Yeah, and our Burger King is called Hungry Jack's.
I don't like it. I'm pretty sure that's like a pancake brand in America.
Ooh, yeah, right. So like there's this joke. So I live in Brisbane, if you are familiar with Australia at all.
I'm not.
And well, it's in Brisbane. There's nothing to do. So, and if you're going to meet someone in the city, you meet them at Hungry Jack's. So the joke is, you know, like if you die in Brisbane, you just respawn at Hungry Jack's in the city. So, yeah.
I love that you have your own little weird jokes.
Yeah, and it's just not fun.
Just
like
Brisbane jokes.
People listening to this are going to get that. They're going to be like, oh, Michaela, like, you know, crazy.
No, actually, I had a lot of people from the last podcast episode message me about what a delight you are. Nobody messaged me about what a delight I am, by the way. Did anybody message you about what a delight?
Well, there were the people who actually, one of my Facebook memories popped up and it was like 6 years ago. My husband said, do you have any idea how abrasive your voice is? And I do. Like, I have this really, like, quite high pitch. Like, I get really shrill. Kate has experienced this when I get excited. Like only dogs can hear me operating at that pitch, you know? So, yeah, like, you know, it just does nothing for my ego, honestly. Like, it's just, it is what it is. But thank you so much to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, get some ASMR things going here with your high-pitched dog voice. So one of the things, what's amazing about this book is that I read it for a joke, and obviously I made Michaela read it for this, but it blew me away by actually how well written it was. I thought this was going to be like the dinosaur book where like you're reading it and you're like, this is actually not well written, but people are reading it for shits and giggles. But all he wants for Christmas is a fingerling. Really, like,
yeah,
just merge the two worlds of like bonkers writing and actually good writing, or like bonkers plot.
Yes.
Did you find the same thing? Were you shocked by the quality of the writing of this book?
Yeah, definitely. But I think that also, like, it opens up to the discussion as well. You know, people have this perception that the only good books you get are the ones that you can buy in store. You know, and this is available on Kindle Unlimited, guys. So there is really great writing to be heard from these things. And I just, like, I think that this is why we need to give books like this a go. Like, you know, I know that you sort of had this moment where this is like the book that a lot of people kind of associate with Kate. Like, it's just like, oh, she read that potato shifter romance. Like, that's like your calling card.
People,
you know,
still send me potato memes. Yeah. And I haven't talked about this book in probably 3 to 5 months, somewhere in there.
Surprise, bitch, we're back.
Yeah, I was like, I got a potato meme the other day. I'm like, fuck yes, potato meme. I like being known as the potato shifter recommender.
Yes, exactly. So it is. I think that it's really great writing. Does the author have any other books that you have read?
No, and I've been waiting. So there's supposed to be a second book with Frenchie's brother, who is this just like weirdo who also rolls out of town for no reason. And I think he's going to be paired up with Tala's like best friend.
No, twin.
Oh, it was his twin. Okay, I did not reread this book for this episode because I thought that Michaela could just fill me in on all the shit I was getting wrong. But Jesus, they like hated each other on site in the book. And I immediately was like, I don't want to read about Tala and Frenchie anymore. I want to read about this like absolute shit show of a book that's coming next. And I did hear that I don't know if actually how JP Sale identifies, so I'll just say they, how if they're in the process of writing it or if they, I don't know. I haven't looked if they have any other books or anything, just waiting on that potato book too. Situation
to potato book two as it is gonna be now forever known as.
It's like the Weird Shifter series, which I was like, yeah, okay, that is
the weird and wacky world of shifters.
Perfect.
Yeah. I pulled up Goodreads, I've got it now.
I was looking at reviews and all the reviews were basically how I felt, where it was like, I read this for a joke and yet I am impressed. Were like, I knew I would hate this going in and I did hate it, but now I know for sure that I would hate it. I was like, that's a terrible review. What? Why would you read something you knew you were going to hate? And then, if anything, that's a 5-star. Like, you knew you weren't going to like it, and it delivered that. 5 stars. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I love anyone who's ever written a book. Like, the Heidi Montag quote of congratulations if you have ever written a book.
Michaela's just 5-starring everything, and it's delightful.
Except I think they deserve 1 star.
Then they get 1 star. She's like 1 star or 5 star. Either you wrote a book and congratulations for doing something so amazing, or you wrote a book and it was the worst thing I ever read and it's a 1 star.
Yeah. That's literally me. Like, if you follow me on Goodreads, like if you're on my Instagram, you can do the little link tree thing. It's a little, what is that word? Link in the bio bar. And yeah, like you'll just see just me not rating any books. And then I'm like, I fucking love this book. I fucking hated this book. It's just like, if I ever see this bitch, it's on site, you know? So,
no 3 stars.
No, absolutely not. No.
I do a lot of 4, 5. I've only rated 1 or 2 books ever a 1. Mm-hmm. And it was for good reason. Although looking back, I'm kind of like, I've read way worse stuff since then. I feel like I should go back and like bump that up.
No, just stand by your conditions. Yeah, always.
All right. So the part of this book that is the most ridiculous part is and I keep calling it cannibalism, but I don't think it is cannibalism, because you have to be something eating your same species. And how it is in Frenchie's people, his potato people, in order to like marry your mate, to solidify your relationship with your fated mate must ingest you. And I think it's honestly beautiful, because if you don't know, you can like cut a potato and bury a portion of a potato, and a new potato plant will grow from that portion of a potato. So I believe it's based on that. So Tala has to cut up Frenchie while he's in his potato form, like cut off. I think he cuts off like a third of him or something. And you can choose how to eat him. And Tala decides to fry him up as French fries. And he does. And he eats him. And then he buries Frenchie in a bag of dirt. So Frenchie special dirt from the homeland, so that Frenchie can regenerate. It doesn't take very long, but he's worried the whole time. But he loved it. Like, he decided that these were delicious French fries, the best French fries he's ever tasted, which I guess makes sense, because they're like magical French fries that are, he's basically eating like an engagement ring.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like an engagement ring, wouldn't it? It's like the mating ceremony, because Tala has to bite Frenchie. That's obviously like a werewolf thing. So that was that thing. And then there's also a scene after they've sort of done that Frenchie shifts into his potato form, and he just is rolling all over Tala.
Why was it kind of sexy though? Am I wrong? Like, he wants to roll his naked potato body all over Tala's naked werewolf body. And I was into it.
I'm just going to tell you, in the 3 weeks since I finished this book, my family has not eaten potatoes, just so you guys know. And when the children ask, Mom, why haven't we had mashed potatoes? I say, look, we're just going to have some rice with it instead. Okay.
You're like, I can't eat Frenchie. Okay. But here's where I'm confused. So aren't fingerlings kind of small potatoes?
Yeah, but he's 5 feet tall.
He doesn't turn into a 5-foot potato.
It says 5-foot person. Maybe it's like.
But I'm just saying, like, how does he chop off enough of the potato to make fucking French fries? I can see a russet potato or whatever you called it, which is the potato I usually eat. Actually, I normally get sweet potatoes. Oh, I wonder if the sweet potato shifters are just extra like sunshiny.
No, I reckon that they would be like bimbo girls who are like fake tanned. That's Damn a good it. One, right?
That's good. All right. What other kind of potatoes are there?
There's so many. There's purple potatoes.
There's alien potatoes.
Listen, it's terrible. Yeah, now that you've got us on this conversation about potatoes.
I should have Googled it. I should have had just a bunch of pictures of potatoes ready to go for this podcast episode. Yeah. Fuck. Basically, okay, Michaela, would you eat your mate? Would you eat your potato mate?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, like, but yet again, I think that the funniest thing is the problem you had with this book is that Frenchie is a fingerling. And you're like, how do you make a French fry out of it? It's like, you're down with, like, the semi-cannibalism, eating, you know, your partner. And then you're like, wow, but that's not enough to make a French fry.
Yeah, I could not suspend my disbelief about the size of the potato. I could suspend my disbelief about a potato shifter.
Yeah.
But I do not believe there was enough potato to make French fries.
Maybe they were really like, maybe it was like, you know, those little cute cooking videos you see where it's like the miniature food. You know, like the little
hamsters.
Yes, maybe it was like that.
Okay.
But I'm like 95% positive. Well, not positive. Sure. That's the word that I'm looking for. That Frenchie does actually eat a potato at the end of the book.
Well, because they're not all potatoes in this world are potato shifters, right? He like makes mention of how some potatoes are just regular potatoes. Like, don't they farm regular potatoes? Like, that's their business.
Yes.
Right? Or something, which is so fucked up.
Yeah.
That just feels weird. They're like your people.
He says that he has hundreds of siblings, though.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's a sibling. That's why you have to leave to find your mate, because like it's definitely incestual in that potato farm.
Yeah. Is this like, you know, a bit of a analogy for like a cult? Because Frenchie's clothing as well, remember? So Tala actually rips his clothing and Russ kind of loses it because like, those are the only clothes that he has. They are his clothes. You know, like it was a little bit, you know, like Children of the Corn.
Yeah, they're magic clothes because Tala, when he shifts, has to remove his clothes. But Frenchie, when he shifts, he gets to keep his clothes on him, right? And so that's why they're so special, is because any other clothes, this wouldn't work. But these magic clothes. I felt like Tala was very disrespectful for a lot of this. Because again, I don't like the title, because all Tala wanted was not a fucking fingerling.
No.
Tala at no point, up until like most of the book, way of the book through. What the fuck sentence was that? Most of the way through the book. There we go. Tala is anti-Frenchie. To the point where he's like a huge dick to this sweet little potato. And I was getting really mad. I did not feel personally that the grovel matched up. I did not feel like Tala had to drag himself through the dirt enough, which is a thing for me. I want fucking grovel. I want to watch a man on his bare knees
dragging his balls through glass,
basically. I want Grimmar in The Lady of the Orc. I want big fucking tears. I want him like being like, oh, I will let you go and marry someone else and have someone else raise my child. Like, that's the level of grovel I fucking want. And instead it was like, Frenchie just forgave him because Frenchie's adorable and sweet and doesn't have a backbone because he's a potato.
A real life potato. Shifting, being nice, being sweet, understanding.
The personality matched a potato. Exactly what I thought a potato's personality would be like.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that. He was there for his man. Like, potatoes have been there for me in all incarnations. Mashed, fried, potato gems, dauphinoise. I love a potato. A gratin, you know, like.
Oh my God. Stop being married to a chef. These are too many potatoes.
Never.
Back to the cannibalism though. I was wondering this. What part of Frenchie do you think that he ate
when his dick, he cut him definitely.
Off? His dick.
It had to be a dick, yeah. 100% had to be like the dick, because it was really sexual. Frenchie loved it. So
yeah, that's
what actually happens in the book. So I think that there can be a third left of Frenchie.
Was what it was. I do recall that. And then Ross, his brother, like helps walk Tala through this.
Yes. And then so they put the remaining bit of Frenchie into the magic dirt, and like Frenchie kind of comes back, and I'm doing all of these movements. Like, we should be doing this like in the recording, because I'm like
acting it out.
She's anything's a stage, baby. And he's kind of like, he's like, oh, that feels good. I'm inside him. I like, you know, like this is Frenchie's inner dialogue. So I think that it's pretty enjoyable. I definitely think a dick or an ass was eaten. Both good
honestly,
holes.
I wouldn't want it to be his head. Like that would weird me out. I was thinking like feet to like mid waist. So yeah, dick and ass would totally be involved in that.
Yeah. Probably like where you get numb on the C-section, which can lead us into the spoiler discussion.
Cannot relate to that personal thing. But I would like us to get to the spoiler. Why don't you just fucking spoil it? I feel like if they're going to read it, they're going to read it.
Yep.
And if they're not, it's their loss. It's your loss if you don't want to read this book. Although we're spoiling it, so you really don't have to. Go, Michaela. Spoil the C-section.
Well, the C-section... Well, I'm at a loss for words because I messaged Kate. And okay, so there is a surprise pregnancy in this, but it's not really a surprise if you read the synopsis and you see the M-preg, where Frenchie becomes pregnant with Tala's babies. The mechanics of that I don't understand. and I'm pretty sure that Frenchie shit the babies out. Like, he gave birth out of his asshole.
Don't normally in M-preg, they have a secondary hole.
Okay.
Like a vagina in which that like it's a secondary hole. Sometimes it only appears when they're in heat or whatever, where they can that's where they have sex to have the babies. But I don't recall that. I believe Frenchie just had an asshole.
Yeah. And he was sitting in the magic dirt shitting out twins. So that shook me to my core. Then my next question, because I'm a practical woman and I hate pregnancy. Says the mother of two. And I was like, well, what about contraception? You know what I mean? Like, there was just, because obviously, you know, like in these books, like they're just so in love that they're just fucking constantly, like they just, there's no thought for like a condom or anything. And I'm like, well, he's not going to have an IUD up his asshole. Well, maybe he could, but hopefully they get it under control because he's just going to be shitting out kids left, right, and center if he's not careful.
Especially, I mean, the potatoes clearly fuck like bunnies and breed like bunnies.
Absolutely.
Hundreds of siblings.
Hundreds of siblings. Could you imagine having hundreds of siblings?
No, I don't want to.
I don't even
want
to talk to the one sibling that I have.
Yeah, like my brothers and I are not, we're close, like whatever. We're family, but we're not best friends.
Yeah.
And I don't want 12,000 more of them. But how, so he carries them. So is that what the potatoes do? So now I'm just like, normally potatoes are grown on like a potato plant. Like you pull up the plant and there's like 15 potatoes on a plant, correct? I don't know. I've never grown a potato. I have 80,000 tomatoes. And guess what? I hate tomatoes. Yeah. Why did I plant 4 tomato plants? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To see if I could.
You did it. You did it. I'm proud of you.
Now my son just keeps picking the green ones off and biting them. And I've tried to explain multiple times that that is not how we eat tomatoes. And he doesn't even like tomatoes.
Maybe he's read Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
I have not
read. Do you
ever
stop to think about that? You haven't read that? Oh my God, that's such a classic. It's such a classic movie.
If anything has word classic, I have not read it. I did read Pride and Prejudice, but I only understood Pride and Prejudice because I watched the movie right before. And it is honestly a pretty decent movie based on it. Anyways. I forgot what we were talking about potato-wise. Giving birth. So yeah, are they attached to? Is that how potatoes give birth? They turn into humans and give birth? That's why I want the second fucking book, because I feel like it's going to answer more questions.
Yeah. If there's more pregnancy, like I need to specifically have the question answered was, did they shit this baby out? Because that baby shat out. Because that's I just was reading. I was like, it's coming out of the asshole.
Are they born as potatoes?
No, they're wolves, the babies.
Oh, fuck. That makes absolutely no sense. So are they, can they shift in? Oh, no. Like, he's so small.
Yeah. Two babies coming out of your butthole. Could you imagine?
Oh, no. Poor Frenchie.
Yeah. His asshole would have been ripped open.
It's gotta be a C-section, which I have read before. The babies, in some books, like in M-preg, the baby can only be, I read an Omegaverse with like 8 dudes, 1 woman who's like, they needed her egg and they take her egg and they put it into the male Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but he can only give birth via C-section.
Lucky him. Good.
Yeah.
Love that.
I like that real, like, okay, they're gonna, now there's not an extra hole or any, although I don't really know how the asshole connects to the
uterus. To the pregnancy hole. Like, an asshole is a pregnancy hole in this universe. I think that's what I've learned from this.
It's basically a vagina, so it doesn't have a butt.
No, because he does mention he feels his channel getting wet when he sees Tala.
Now.
Expanding.
Ugh. Are vaginas supposed to do that? And I missed not the wet part, but the expanding?
I don't know. Mine's never done that. How about yours?
I don't think so. I'm going to have to pay better attention next time I'm reading.
That's going to have to be a Patreon exclusive if we're going to talk about that.
It'll have to be, yeah. The Patreon has one episode a month that is exclusive to Patreon subscribers if you want to listen. I don't know until the day before what I am going to talk about. Last time it was all the books I've hated the most in my entire 15-year romance reading career. We'll see what comes out this time. I don't know. Sometimes I just look at my shelf and pick a topic. Anyways, I want to talk to Michaela about, because I feel like she's going to have a really good answer for this. What vegetable? I know that potatoes are not technically a vegetable, but what vegetable do you think is the sluttiest vegetable in this vegetable shifter world?
Spinach.
Spinach.
What? Yeah. I think that she's versatile. Do you know, I think she's everywhere. I think she can fit into a lot of different genres in terms of food. Like, potato is a side dish, or it's like, it's the main thing. With spinach, you could do like a spinach and ricotta pie. Listen to all of these fucking, is this a food blog or what? Like, what is going on?
We should have had this podcast while we were cooking potato dishes.
Yeah, exactly. Or eating french fries, doing something. But yeah, I think it's going to be spinach. Like, I think that she's like a bad girl. She's kind of got her fingers in different pies. She can be in salads. She can be in stews. She's everywhere. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. You blow me away with your answers every time. You're just on the nose. You're ready to go. It's like I gave you these ahead of time, even though I didn't. One day I'm going to trip you up, though. I swear to God.
You ain't never going to catch me.
Did they mention broccoli shifters in the book? I felt like they like offhandedly mentioned broccoli, but maybe not. But I was thinking, I don't know, but I felt like broccoli.
Yeah.
Be very slutty. And I can't explain it.
Hmm.
I hear broccoli and I think slut.
Yeah. I'm a slut for broccoli.
And
myself.
We're saying slut in the most loving, adoring way. We are pro slut all the way.
Pro slut 100%.
Okay. Yep. I want a broccoli romance where there's just this like fucking promiscuous. I mean, I don't know if they're all going to be, I guess they're all queer romance. So I would love a broccoli shifter paired up with like a giraffe shifter.
Yeah. Why is that? Just the eating aspect.
They're mini trees.
Yes. That is
so
good.
I feel like it would be a pining where like the giraffe shifter's been pining after the broccoli shifter for so long, but the broccoli shifter's been sowing her oats,
yeah,
so to speak. Sowing and finally the giraffe shifter decides, I'm done pining, I'm gonna go out and find someone else. And then the broccoli shifter decides like, shit, I like, now I have feelings.
Yeah,
I'm writing
but
this.
Maybe she has feelings for everyone, like maybe
reverse harem.
Exactly.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be reverse harem. It would just be, it's a woman loving woman book. So it would just be a polyamorous.
Why choose romance?
I'm liking this. Honestly, I'm going to like message. I have messaged JP Sale and I think they have, I believe I did it on Instagram, but I've never heard back. So either they hate me, possible based on all the funny reels I've made based on potatoes, or they never check their social media. Which is also a possibility.
Someone to fear either way. Like, respect JP.
Honestly, yeah. Either they hate me and I have to respect that, or they're not as attached to social media as me and I also respect that. I've tagged them in tons of stuff. I've never heard back.
Okay.
Whatever. And I do want to plug. So this book was actually recommended to me by Vera Valentine, who was my second episode podcast. I interviewed her. She, and if you like this theme of fucking foods, she wrote the erotica. It's not a romance. It does not end with an AGA. It doesn't end sad or anything. It just, they don't end up together at the end. but where the heroine fucks Thanksgiving leftovers. They shift into people, but she's like putting away leftovers. They shift into people. They give her the dicking down of her motherfucking life on the table from whence they came. And then at the end, they turn back into food and she like puts them away. I don't know. I think she's debating like writing another series where they then stay people or whatever. And I want that so bad. But anyway, Vera, so if you like this, you should like Vera Valentine is quite the delight. She also has a bonkers mind. And yeah, I think that if you like this book, if you read it and you enjoyed it, you'll love Vera's stuff. She also, it's these absolutely crazy ideas, but the writing is so fucking good that you're just like, yes, whatever you are saying to me, I believe 100% is a real thing. Like her balloon animal shifter fucking book.
That book was fantastic.
Right. She's making a sequel. The Squeakquel. Good. Is good. What she called it.
Good. Thank you, Vera Valentine.
I have two more questions before we wrap up this podcast. Are books getting too weird?
No.
No.
No. I think that we all grew up with, you know, like Quizilla. Do you remember when Quizilla had fanfic on it?
Yeah, like, I was writing it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was probably enjoying it. And I think that this world is so awful that it's just funny. Like, this is just, you know, how people do things now. And this is where our imaginations can run wild. And I think that the weird is wonderful.
I agree. I'm always looking for the next fucking weird thing. I just want the next one that I'm chasing this.
Yeah.
What do you call it? When like the goalpost just keeps moving further and further for what I will tolerate in a book.
I did suggest to Kate that we should do a super scary Halloween episode and it should just be us reading a contemporary romance. So you should slide the face this woman's pulling. Slide into her DMs and tell her what book you think we should read.
Just a fade. She's got a Colleen Hoover on her shelf. Fade to black rom-com contemporary romance.
No, it's a women's fiction.
No.
It's a romance marketed as no, romance.
It's just a Nicholas Sparks novel. We're going to read the notebook. Actually, I've heard that book's pretty good. I like the movie. I don't know. I don't like the people. I don't like the ending of the movie, but I remember being like, maybe I just liked Ryan Gosling. Though. Yeah. I like a man who just absolutely lets himself go when his woman doesn't want him.
Nothing better.
I want his life to fucking fall apart.
Yeah. Are you okay? Who hurt you? Like the grovel conversation.
So many people have led me to this point. As I say, as a happily married woman of 10 years or whatever. Okay, here's my last question for Vera. I totally agree. We have not yet found the next weird thing. If you think you have the weirdest thing that you have read,
we want it.
DM us. We'll read it for the podcast. But it's got to be Potato Shifters. And it can't be Vera Valentine's books because I'm already reading those. I need something new. Like the Goblin book I recommended today where his dick tastes like chocolate.
Yeah, and I was there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, sold, bitch. I'm on.
I was like, isn't that the middle of the fucking night? She's like, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and just like hang out for a little bit. I'm like, I forgot. Here's my final question. I like to end my episodes with just an absolutely bonkers question for Michaela, because again, she's always so confident in her answers. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, and it's going with a theme. Last episode, I asked what monster you would absolutely not fuck, and you answered with Republican, which she answered with, I wasn't even done asking the question, and she answered. So today I would like to know, which food would you shifter? I don't want you fucking a cucumber or something, but which food shifter would you absolutely not fuck? Like, they're a dick. They're an ass. You know that they are just trash. A trash person. What vegetable?
Vegetable or food?
You know what? Food. I said food. Let's stick with food.
Okay, food. Something sticky. I think like just like maybe like a marshmallow. Do you know what I mean? Like the heat and the friction. It would just be like all over you. And then cold things. I'm really funny. Like I like heat on my face and I don't like cold things on my face. So if they were like, you know,
Like a frozen, like a popsicle. Like you're not gonna fuck a popsicle shipper.
Yeah,
no,
like a popsicle. Okay, like a marshmallow, something like that. No.
Ew, see, because if Frenchie maintains his French fry-y smell, if that's like his perfume, then other shifters also have to have some aspect of them that remains with their human form, right?
Yeah.
So a popsicle definitely has some sort of like sticky sweet, like when his sweat is just like popsicle.
No, like a freezer bitten. Like I'm thinking like, you know, like a just, ugh. No, I hate it. I hate it. Oh, that's the worst question.
But marshmallow wasn't interesting because I feel like a marshmallow shifter would be such a sweetie.
No.
But you're like, no. What if his cum is marshmallow fluff?
Well, you know, that would be, no, it would be on me. Like, it would be sticky. You know how,
you can't just wipe it off. You'd have to, like, go take a shower every single time. You'd have, no wet wipes would work on that.
No, I love an asshole. Ooh,
if it's in your hair.
Oh my God, my hair is so expensive. I would be fucking furious. Like, you don't even understand. Nah. That's pissed me off.
I would not, and this is weird because I love like mermaids. I would not fuck a fish shifter.
A fish shifter? Yeah, it would smell.
Actually shifts into a fish, which is funny because I have a whole plot for a book that I'm currently mulling on, which is a goldfish shifter. So it's interesting that this is my answer. But I'm picturing shifting into like a tuna. And I just have a giant fucking tuna in my household, in my bathtub.
I can smell it. I can smell it. I hate it.
I hate fish tanks. Like,
yeah.
And I bet he's probably sweet. He's probably really fit from all the like splashing around and like.
Yeah, you know that he knows how to fuck. Like he's got the tail can move. Like, but no, he'd be slimy.
Well, now I'm wondering if I should change my answer because now I'm picturing.
Now we're kind of like we're down for that. That could be a thing that's good.
It's weird because I would fuck a mermaid.
Oh yeah, I definitely fuck them.
But it's because like they're half fish in the moment.
Yeah. Do they have penises though?
But I don't want to fuck a fish.
I want to fuck a fish.
Look, I did like Regine Abel's "I Married a Merman" book, but they shift into they have legs on land, a la Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I did say today I would not fuck an octopus.
You wouldn't fuck an octopus.
Like an octopus shifter. Like if there's ever an Ursula character, I will. A male octopus, I would entertain that. But I, as a man, if I were a man, would not fuck a female half octopus. It's the one thing I cannot. It's like, do you watch The Boys?
No.
Oh, in The Boys, there's a hero, or he's not a hero, he's a fucking asshole, but he's actually a superhero called The Deep. And he is like the ocean guy. And he fucks like an actual octopus. Like the octopus has the hots for him and she's like always flirting with him. She can't talk or anything, but I assume she's flirting with him. And so he like fucks an octopus and it's absolutely disgusting in the show. He's like cheating on his girlfriend with an octopus he keeps in a tank by his bed. They like make eyes at each other while he's fucking the girl, the human girl.
I'm gonna watch this show. Absolutely incredible. The Boys, you say?
Yeah, it's not all that. I mean, it's an amazing show. It is not focused on this guy fucking an octopus, though, okay, no, if you're hoping.
No, okay. No.
Highly recommend
that. I'm always hoping that there's going to be something weird. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are about to run out of time. So I will just say thank you to Michaela for entertaining my questions and reading this book for me because she had to on threat of our friendship ending. And yeah, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week no, you won't, unless you're on my Patreon. Because next week is a Patreon episode, I think. Yes. Yes, it is. Not this week. Next week. When you listen to this. And yeah, read whatever the fuck you want. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't read a potato shifter. If you want to read a fucking potato shifter, you do it and you shove it in their face. Thanks. Love you all.